Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Hits are brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city, now open in the Crossroads and the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. So yesterday, O.J. Simpson had this to say about him being on Twitter now.
I'll be able to talk about everything, especially sports, fantasy football, and even politics.
Well, he's already started talking about fantasy football. He tweeted earlier today, he's taking an early look at fantasy for the season. Patrick Mahomes was his clear number one, but with Tyreek Hill's status still up in the air, he's debating Baker Mayfield or Todd Gurley with the number one pick. He asked his audience, what do they think? Is he missing somebody? C-Dot, who's better at fantasy football, Sean Levine or O.J. Simpson?
Sadly, it's you.
Thank you, man.
It's not by a lot, though. The fact that BK thought that the number one story in Kansas City was the Juice's fantasy football team, I'm not going to lie, makes me chuckle a little bit. Lets me know that it's June 18th in Kansas City, Missouri, that the Royals ain't that good.
What do you think is bigger right now?
But
it's the lead story on the Kansas City Star.
Yeah, very, very fair point.
Him versus me, fantasy football is the lead story in the Star?
Had a little different spin on
how about
it.
That?
That would be, I mean, you made it.
That's you like amazing. Apples? How you like damn apples?
I've never been the main story on the Kansas City Star. Hey, you coming up in the world. You're the main story. No, OJ's worse than you at fantasy football. You at least wouldn't suggest Todd Gurley. You might suggest drafting Mahomes number one or Baker number one. You wouldn't suggest drafting Todd Gurley number one overall. So, yeah, you're better than OJ.
What's the matter with the boy Todd Gurley? What does he have?
He has arthritis in his knee, and he's 24 years old. Arthritis!
Yeah,
knee.
I'm not interested in a 24-year-old with arthritis. I am interested in, however, with Patrick Mahomes with the number one pick, at least in my league, where the quarterback holds a little bit more weight than the typical league. Maybe OJ wants a spot in our league. We've got 11 of the 12 spots filled. Juice, I'll send you a tweet after this. We'll see if you can join the league.
If OJ wanted to join my league, I just would never play fantasy football again. Like, I don't have any.
I'm not lying. I'm not a big OJ guy at all. I would definitely enjoy him being in my fantasy football league. That would be the truth.
Of course you would.
Once a year, OJ meets at the Lake of the Ozarks or in Vegas with me and the homies. It would be great.
Yeah, I'm sure it would.
Actually, not in Vegas. Actually, OG
Vegas
in Vegas. Never
mind.
Never mind on that one.
Yeah. Death would enter the room. It's like that one joke Chappelle tone in that comedy special on Netflix. That's what it would be like every time OJ's around. Can't believe. Sean literally just said, I want to hang out with OJ in the Lake
of the Ozarks. I just want him in my fantasy league. Once a year, I want to see the guy and then go bye-bye.
Hit number two, Jorge Soler at it again last night.
Swung on, hit in the air, deep to right center field. That's a way back, and that ball is gone. Home run, Jorge Soler, and the Royals are back in front.
Jorge Soler, since the start of last season, is batting .254. He has 35 doubles and 28 homers. He's done so in 133 games. This year, he's already on pace to break the Royals' all-time record for home runs in a single season. Cita. What's changed for Jorge Soler, and how has what he's done this year changed your impression of what he can be for the Royals moving forward?
I don't really think anything's changed with Jorge Soler. I just think that he's finally healthy. I think that's the big difference. I mean, the first half of last season when he was healthy, he was a really productive and really good player. Then he got injured, so we didn't get a chance to kind of see it conclude itself. But he was strong at the beginning of last year, and this is just a continuation of what he did last season. I'm not surprised. Maybe a little bit surprised that the power numbers are as gaudy. I think it's going to come back to the pack just a little bit. I don't think he's hitting 40 home runs this year. But yeah, 31 home runs for Jorge Soler is very much in play. Actually, at this point, it'd be a surprise if he didn't hit at least 30 home runs.
Yeah, don't look now. He's on pace for 43 home runs, and he's third in the league right now in RBI. This guy's not going to be an all-star. He doesn't deserve to be an all-star, but I would love to see him in the home run derby. He's a basher. He looks a lot like Pedro Serrano. Can you say right now that the Royals, C-Dot, have won the trade for Wade Davis?
Yeah, I mean, I think they won the trade a long time ago, just given the fact of I don't think that he was going to sign long-term with the Royals, and they at least got long-term value out of Jorge Soler. So, yeah, I think they won the trade. Now, the flip side would be maybe they make the playoffs in 2016 or 2017
True.
If they have him on the team. No way to know going back in the time machine, but that would be the only other argument you can make, in my opinion.
Three.
Hit number three, Dayton Moore admitted yesterday that he knew in 2017 that the next few years were going to be a little difficult. This comes from Vahe Gregorian's story today in The Star. He said when asked about the timeline to contention, Dayton Moore said he told David Glass and President Dan Glass in October of 2017 that since the Royals hadn't traded the likes of Mike Moustakas and Eric Hosmer for prospects and had signed Alex Gordon and Ian Kennedy to long-term contracts, well, 2018 through 2021 were, quote, going to be somewhat unpredictable on the way to what he hopes can be more sustainable success. See, now, what'd you think when you heard this quote?
I just want the Royals to acknowledge what all of us know. The Royals are not a good baseball team. They weren't going to be a good baseball team last year. They're not a good baseball team this year. They're not going to be a good baseball team next year. I feel like the Royals go back and forth between acknowledging what they are and just delusions of grandeur. We saw a report from Ken Rosenthal that they thought just, what, 4 weeks ago they had a chance to have the second wild card.
Huh.
No, you've never had a chance to second wild card. You might not have that till 2022. Just get that out of your mind. Just keep developing these young guys. Try to find a couple more pitchers. Keep stacking these first-round draft picks. Just follow what Houston did. Do exactly what Houston did. Do what the Cubs did. Do what you did to get to a World Series. Just stay the course.
Remember how yesterday we were talking about Whit Merrifield and should the Royals trade him or keep him because he's this huge trade piece, but there's no reason they would actually do it because he's got such a friendly contract, $16 million over 4 years. You know who doesn't have a friendly contract? Alex Gordon. You know who doesn't have a friendly contract? Ian Kennedy. That's why the Royals have been handcuffed last few years, and it looks like the next couple of years are going to be bleak. Either that or go back all the way to 2015 when the Royals traded away, I'm going to sound like LeBron here, not one, not two, not three, not four, but five different minor league pitchers to get back Johnny Cueto and Ben Zobrist.
The hits are brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city. It is now open in the Crossroads and is the official deli of 610 Sports. We'll actually give you your chance to win a four-pack of Toy Story 4 tickets here in just a little bit. I just saw something on the screen really quickly. We're not going to talk a lot of NBA. I know that everyone's not a big NBA fan. Danny Ainge said that he has no indication that Kyrie Irving isn't going to sign with the Celtics. How do I have indication that he's not going to re-sign with the Celtics, but you don't have the indication he's not going to sign with the Celtics? Doesn't make any sense. And the Knicks may not draft R.J. Barrett with the number 3 overall pick. They're interested in Darius Garland. If you don't know who he is, he signed with Vanderbilt, but he got hurt early in the season. That's why he didn't get a chance to see him. So the Knicks might not draft R.J. Barrett with the 3rd overall pick. If that's the case, I don't trade the 4th overall pick if I'm the Pelicans and I draft R.J. Barrett. I'm not as high on him as maybe other people. I don't think his usage rate is going to be that high. He seems like a guy that's going to take a lot of shots to score a lot of points. I'm not that high on R.J. Barrett, but value at the 4th pick, I would take him with the 4th overall pick.
What are the chances that Kyrie plays with LeBron again? Because I thought that ship has sailed a long time ago, but it's starting to look like that's an actual possibility.
I don't think that Kyrie's going to take less than the max, and I don't think they're going to have the max available. I don't think the Lakers are going to be, unless someone's willing to take less money to sign with the Lakers, I don't think they're going to have a lot of cash to spend on another player. So I actually do not think Kyrie Irving. I think he's going to the Nets. That's where I think Kyrie Irving is eventually going to sign. All right, caller number 6 to 913-576-7610. It's very simple. We are giving away a 4-pack of tickets to see Toy Story 4. Every day in the 5 o'clock hour, we're giving you a chance after the hits. I'm going to play a movie clip, identify the movie clip, and be caller number 6 to our guy BK at 913-576-7610. If you do that, well, you're going to see Toy Story 4.
The children and myself have quickly put together a little presentation in honor of our guest. Bree, Daisy, Grub.
Oh, aren't they adorable?
The South Tunnel Elementary School 2nd grade class would like to present you with this.
So if you know what movie that is, be caller number 6 to 913-576-7610. Caller number 6, identify that movie, and you are going with 3 other people to see Toy Story 4. So over the last 2 days, we have had the honor of having both mayoral candidates. So if you live in Kansas City, Missouri, you're going to vote on a new mayor. I did that earlier today. You have either Quentin Lucas, who was on the show yesterday, or Jolie Justice, who was on the show earlier today. Check out the podcast page. I want to play for you guys because we tried to ask them some general Kansas City stuff and some things that are relevant to us in the sports landscape. A downtown stadium is just always going to be a conversation. I firmly believe that in my lifetime, we will see either the Royals or the Chiefs downtown. I want to play for you what Jolie Justice had to say when we asked her about a downtown stadium.
It's an interesting question, and I remember the last time we had this debate as a city. I was firmly in the camp of baseball should be played downtown. I am a big fan of downtown baseball and would love nothing more than for that to happen. But I'll have to tell you that this is not the same Kansas City as the last time we were having that conversation. And there's a whole lot of things we would have to do to make it happen. We would have to obviously work on the issue of who's going to pay for it, where it's going to go. And I'm willing to have the conversation. I mean, there is no reason why we shouldn't be talking about it. But, you know, it's one of those things where politics is the art of the possible. And I'm not sure if we're going to be able to get it done, but why not talk about it?
So that is what Jolie Justice had to say. We then followed up because she brought up the we will have the conversation and issue of who pays for it. Well, the obvious question is then, well, who do you think is going to pay for it? Here was her answer.
You know, one of the things that we have to always be mindful of is that this can't be on the back of the taxpayers. I mean, one of the things that we know is that we have taxpayers who want to focus on streets and sidewalks. They want to focus on fighting crime and picking up trash. And so this would obviously have to be from the private sector. We'd have to be talking about how we could partner with them, but it would need to be something that would be palatable for all taxpayers and then really would have to be in the hands of the voters ultimately.
So that's what Jolie Justice had to say. If you want to hear the full conversation, go on the podcast page and check it out. We've had the downtown stadium conversation a bunch, so I want to have it in a potentially different spin, if that's even possible. Number one, the issue of who's going to pay for it is a very simple answer. Now, she might not want to say it while she is trying to win the mayor's seat in Kansas City, and I fully understand. The answer of who's going to pay for it is us. That's the answer. We've seen enough cases and enough instances when it comes to these, whether it was in St. Louis, whether it was in Oakland, you take your pick. The people that end up paying for these stadiums, unless it's like Jerry Jones, where he just says, I want to call it Jerry World, I'm going to put up the $1.1 billion to pay for it. The person that's paying for the stadium is you. Whether it was the Atlanta Braves' new stadium, the Atlanta Falcons' new stadium, you are paying for it. It's not going to be privately funded. You are going to be the one paying for it. That again, she might not want to say that while she's running for mayor, and I understand that she'll fight for it, but we know what these teams do. They will then threaten to move to a team that, or excuse me, to a city that will give them a new stadium. The city will then give them the money to build the stadium, and then the wheels will keep on churning. That's 100% what's going
to
happen.
How many people are fighting for that right now? When it comes to all the causes in Kansas City, and I understand she's the mayor, so we have to ask those, or potential mayor, so we have to ask those type of questions, but how many people right now are talking about a downtown stadium versus are satisfied with the Truman Sports Complex as is?
I don't think a lot of people are calling about a downtown stadium, but I think it's one of those things that, just based on how American cities are built, one of the two teams are going to be downtown at one point.
Even if you've got Arrowhead Stadium, I don't want to call it a mecca of football, but I would say behind Lambeau and maybe behind Soldier Field, the third oldest and you could argue most famous stadium in all of professional football.
One of them is going to town. There's another team that's not the Chiefs that's going downtown. I'm sorry. Like, that's just it. I think that's why it keeps coming up. Because where the teams are currently, there's nothing around it. They've had, 40 years to put something around it. They've never put something around it. One of them is moving. That's just the facts of the situation. So that's how I've always looked at it. I hear what you're saying. I don't think people are clamoring for it, but that's just a fact of the situation. Now, we're 5, 6, 7, 10 years away from having the conversation, but the next time we have the conversation, it's not going to be, hey, let's give either the Chiefs or the Royals $250 million, it's going to be where do we want the new stadium to be built.
Let's say you're right. Let's say they move Kauffman downtown 10, 15, 20 years from now. What do they do with Arrowhead? What do they do with the parking lot as it stands right now?
I think that this is what I think is going to happen. I don't know if anyone wants my opinion, but this is what I think is going to happen. I think that they are going to give both teams a new stadium. I think they're going to bulldoze both of them. I think where Kauffman is right now, that's where the new Arrowhead is going to be. I think the Royals are going to move downtown somewhere probably close to the river. They are going to build some kind of complex similar to what the Patriots have, where it's called like Patriots Plaza, where it's like shops and a movie theater. And it will be in addition to your ability to tailgate. Some people don't tailgate. Some people will love to go into a restaurant or do those things, and they will just give you the ability. They'll have concerts there. They'll do all this kind of things. That's what I think happens. I think at some point in our lifetime, probably in the next 20 years, the Chiefs have a new shiny $1.1 billion stadium, and then the Royals move downtown. That's what I think happens in our lifetime.
I bet half the city we can open up the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line at 69306. In fact, I bet it's 75%. I bet 3 out of every 4 people would just as well assume keep Arrowhead as it is right now. Most people, I think, would agree a downtown stadium 10 or 20 years from now makes a lot of sense. But Arrowhead, there's no reason to get rid of it. I understand you want all the new and shiny things and toys and big screens and all the amenities that a new stadium gives you. I prefer Arrowhead. I don't want a dome. I don't want the shiny screens. I don't need any of that crap. I enjoy going out, freezing my ass off in an old stadium. I love the Arrowhead experience.
And maybe this is where I'll get deemed a hater. And I just want to be careful with my words because I don't want people to misconstrue what I'm saying. I think you are overvaluing Arrowhead.
Not at all.
I think if we open up the phone lines and we ask people what your favorite thing about Arrowhead is, they will say the parking lot. It's not the stadium. And I like Arrowhead Stadium. It's a nice stadium, but it's not Fenway. It's not Lambeau. It's not Wrigley.
It's that next tier, though. I agree with you. It's not Lambeau, but when you talk about famous and destination stadiums for fans to go to in the NFL, Arrowhead is absolutely on that short list.
And that's fine. If you think it's in that next tier, then they build a new one, and that's all of them. Like Mile High was on that list. We agree. Mile High was in the conversation with Arrowhead. They built a new one. Like whatever stadium you're going to suggest, every single one that's not Lambeau, that's not Fenway, that's not Allen Fieldhouse, that's not Cameron Indoor Stadium, they eventually build a new one. Arrowhead. And again, I think Arrowhead is a really nice place to see a football game. There's nothing wrong with Arrowhead. But the best thing about Arrowhead is before you walk into the building, they then tear that building down and then build a new one. That as long as they keep your ability to tailgate and hang out outside, you will keep going to Chiefs games and you will keep tailgating.
Yeah, they'll keep going, but it's going to completely change the experience because we agree that if they build a new Arrowhead, they're going to put a roof on it, right?
Yeah.
Or at least a retractable
probably
roof.
Probably so.
And give them a chance for Final Fours and Super Bowls and what have you.
Yeah, I mean, you would be dumb to build a new football stadium and not put a roof on it.
That completely changes the Arrowhead experience. Now, there's going to be a lot of people that go, wait a minute, I can have 75 degrees or I can have 30 degrees. I'll take the heat or the air conditioning, whatever the dome would apply to that night. Not me. I think there's a lot of fans out there that would just as well assume keep Arrowhead. Maybe you can demolish Kauffman, move it downtown, have some extra parking. But I think that part of the game day experience is the stadium.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I just would say that I don't think that Arrowhead is on the list of you can't build another one. There are some stadiums, again, that are on that list. Like, you're never getting away to, like, Fenway would have to just completely disintegrate for you to build a new one. Allen Fieldhouse. There's no reason. But I would say there are two reasons that you love stadiums. I would say the amenities of it or the history of it. And let's be honest. There ain't a lot of history at Arrowhead Stadium. It's not Fenway. It's not Wrigley. So it doesn't have the history of it, and it doesn't have the modern-day amenities. So I can understand if I was the owner of the team, I would say, hey, I look at Atlanta Stadium. I look at Denver Stadium with suites. I look at all these other things. I want a stadium very similar that's state-of-the-art. I mean, when did they build Arrowhead? What was it, 1973, I believe?
Something like that.
Like, it's time for them to have a new stadium. That, again, I don't want anyone to think that I don't think that Arrowhead is a great game day experience. But the great game day experience, I think you can replicate in another building, and I think the best part about Arrowhead is in the parking lot. Think about it. Whenever they play at 7:30 at night, we just say, hey, you can hang out in the parking lot more. It's not all, man. That's all the conversation. Whenever they play a Sunday game at 3:25, the number one reason you get excited is you have an ability to spend more time in the parking lot. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but that's the Arrowhead mystique. The Arrowhead mystique is the ability to tailgate with your friends. The Arrowhead mystique is not walking into the game.
So speaking for yourself, you're telling me that you would rather have a new shiny stadium with a big scoreboard and really comfortable seats and all those things than have Arrowhead as it currently stands.
100%.
Because I couldn't be any opposite of a feeling than you are. I would much rather have Arrowhead Stadium and call it the third, probably, I don't know if it's a mecca of football or it's a destination stadium, but right there behind Soldier Field and Lambeau, it would be the third oldest stadium in the entire NFL.
So I asked this on Twitter, at 610SportsKC. If the Royals were to move downtown, would you be in favor of building a new stadium for the Chiefs still at the Truman Sports Complex? So in the same area, you still got the ability to be able to go out there and tailgate before the game, but it's going to be not Arrowhead anymore. It's going to be a new stadium in that same grounds. 48% say yes. 52% say no. We are 1,000 votes in. That's at 610SportsKC is where you find that poll. So it's basically split 50-50 in terms of whether or not people would want that new stadium downtown or at the same area for the Chiefs.
And I also want to make myself again very clear. I'm not advocating for them to move the football team because I don't think there is any other place in Kansas City, Missouri, where you can have the space to get the number one thing. The number one thing about Chiefs games is tailgating. That unless you go over by the Legends, which is in Kansas, I'm not advocating for them to move to Kansas, there's no other place in Missouri. There's no place downtown for you to have the parking and space you need to have a football team. There is that space for a baseball team. There's none of that other space. I do also want to point out, because you bring up people's change.
Mm-hmm.
There were people. Like, if we were hosting this show back before Sprint Center, that were advocating for them to stay at Kemper Arena, there were people who were adamant that we didn't need a new arena and we didn't need Sprint Center. You know what happened? The people that went to the Big 8, went to the Big 12, and were like, oh, so this is what it looks like. The exact same thing would happen. That I love Arrowhead. It is a great place to go see a game. It's not Allen Fieldhouse. Like, Allen Fieldhouse has far too much history tied up into it for you to just start over. That's not what Arrowhead is. So as long as you keep the ability for parking and people to bring their grills and people to come in early and you don't change that part of it, it is still going to be the same Arrowhead that you knew and loved.
Remember, though, they've got a lease for the next, I think it's close to 10 years. It might be through 2031, if I'm correct. They've got the current lease. So it's going to be a while until we even actually have to have this conversation. Can you imagine between now and then how many games are going to be won at Arrowhead? How many AFC championship games are going to be played at Arrowhead? How many MVP seasons Patrick Mahomes is going to have inside that stadium? They might not have the history right now, but let's revisit this conversation 10 or 12 years from now.
Yeah, I just don't know if in 12 years you're going to build it. I mean, the Texans making a good point. They tore down Yankee Stadium. Like, the Yankees eventually got a new stadium. That, man, the teams that I think their buildings are, they're, no, you can't do anything with it. It's just a very small group, and I wouldn't include the Chiefs in that category. We agree. The teams that can't do anything to their stadiums.
Fenway, Wrigley.
Yeah, we agree that KU and Allen Fieldhouse is probably in that. Like, I'm not even a KU fan, but I've been to Allen Fieldhouse enough to see enough
you
games.
You ain't tearing that baby down.
If they were talking about putting Kansas basketball downtown, that would be a terrible mistake. Like, they need to, whatever amount of money
they're
pushing
to. Build a Mass Street stadium on 7th and Mass?
Whether it's the David Booth guy or whoever, the guy that spent the rules of basketball, spend whatever amount of money to keep Allen Fieldhouse exactly where it is. Cameron Indoor Stadium, I would put in that category. You're right. You would put Lambeau in that category, Wrigley in that category, Fenway in that category. I'm sorry, Arrowhead's just not in that category, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's like 97% of sporting venues. Eventually, you just get a new one. Mile High got a new one. Pittsburgh got a new one. Like, just, you get a new stadium at some point. That's going to happen to the Chiefs. It's just the question is, where's it going to be?
I feel like most people are like you, suckers, that think that new is better. I just don't always necessarily think that newer equates with better. I think that older sometimes is better in the case of stadiums.
Yeah, I don't know what stadium we've seen where the new version wasn't better than the old one. Like, you don't spend $1.8 billion in 2023 or whatever the new stadium is and then come away thinking it wasn't cooler. Like, think about it like this. They spent $250 million on Arrowhead. We agree Arrowhead is a better stadium now than it used to be. They spent $250 million on Kauffman Stadium. We agree Kauffman is better than it used to be. Maybe you didn't like it and you had to deal with some of the changes, but we can agree Kauffman is way better now. That's $250 million. Think if they spent $1 billion on giving you a new football stadium. You probably come away thinking, this is kind of cool.
Or you could spend half that money and just improve the current stadium that we've all fallen in love with and gone to our entire lives. That's, to me, best case scenario. You knock down Kauffman, you build it downtown, you put $500 million or whatever the money you come up with is into Arrowhead Stadium. You make it a much better stadium with more updates and upgrades and all that stuff. And then you've got that giant ass parking lot for tailgating.
No, you're right. And again, I don't want anyone to think that I do not think that Arrowhead is a great game day environment. I certainly think it. But if we opened up the phone lines and we asked you, what is your favorite part about going to Chiefs games? Many of you would say the parking lot. That's not iconic. The stadium's not iconic. The game day experience is iconic. The team can be iconic. Your stadium is not iconic.
You can't have the game day experience without Arrowhead Stadium. I understand what you were saying. That
you
can
just build another stadium around it, though.
It wouldn't be the same. It just wouldn't. Even if they called it Arrowhead, but if they put a dome on it, it just wouldn't be the same. They're going out there in 10-degree weather and layering up to go see a Chiefs game. It just wouldn't be the same, man.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you're right. People would just be happier when they go to the game because they would be warm.
They'd still go, but I don't think they'd necessarily be happier because there's a dome.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. But next, we'll talk about Jorge Soler, who has been on an absolute tear. Should he perform in the home run derby? We'll get into it. Plus, we will give you a chance to win a pair of Royals tickets. Keep it locked in. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll get back into the Kansas City Chiefs. I want you guys to follow me on this analogy. Tell me if I'm wrong.
All right.
You guys remember 1998, the home run chase?
Oh, yeah.
With Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. I remember as a kid, every day when I got out of school, I would run home to watch SportsCenter. Stuart Scott and Dan Patrick and then McGwire and Sosa hit another home run. It was cool. It was a cool thing to follow. And it was the first time, you know, thought that was a record that would never be broken. And it eventually got broken. And then I remember when Barry Bonds tried to do it, you know, a couple years later. And it wasn't that cool anymore, you know? It's like, I already seen him before. That's kind of how I feel about Jorge Soler. Now, I'm not saying what he's doing is not cool. He might hit 40 home runs for the Royals. And I'm old enough to remember whenever we made it seem like nobody could hit home run for the Royals. I remember when, you know, the leading home run getter for the Royals would have 17 home runs. We made it seem like that was some feat. That was some accomplishment. I'm thinking, hold on. I watch these games and other teams come in here and they hit home runs at Kauffman Stadium. I think it's a you problem, not a stadium problem.
How did Balboni's record stand that long? 36 through the steroid era. That's nuts.
The Royals were bad.
Really bad.
Yeah, but they could get one power hitter that can hit a few home runs and break that record. 36 through the steroids era? That shouldn't happen.
No, you're right. So they went a long time without it happening. And then when Moose had the opportunity to do it, it was really cool because we all knew the history of the record. We knew how long it had been. We all knew what, you know, the situation the Royals were in. And then Moose finally broke the record. So Mike Moustakas, who's going to go in the Royals Hall of Fame, that could maybe have his jersey retired, who had the iconic catch in the playoffs and one of the homegrown hashtag forever Royal. He broke the record, you know? It was a really cool thing. It was a point of pride. Jorge Soler might get that record. And I'm not going to lie to you, it ain't as cool. Now, to see someone in a Royals uniform hit 40 home runs would be very cute, would be very cool to see, but it kind of feels like Barry Bonds' record. Like, I don't know about you guys. I don't have any fond memories of when Barry Bonds broke the record. Like, I can't really tell you a whole lot about it. I don't really remember what year it was. I don't remember how old I was. I don't really remember much about the Barry Bonds record. Like, I know he broke it. I remember when he, like, I remember some of the details about it. Man, you remember exactly where you were for the McGuire thing and the Sosa and how they had Big Mac land, how it was a big deal whenever he had a home run over. Like, it was really cool to follow. Just like,
I don't know. I don't know that I agree with you. I think Barry doing it was a huge deal. When that was happening, man, I like the number of times that he was getting walked over the course of that season intentionally, like that was almost as big of a story as it was that he hit 73 home runs in a season. 73 home runs in 1 year. I think you're underestimating how big of a deal that was.
They had all the live cut-ins, remember, on ESPN. He outdid the record by too much, though. Like, it would have been one thing if he got to 69 or to 70. 73 home runs. Talk about a record that will never be broken. Back to Moose, though, and Jorge Soler. I think both those guys should be in the home run derby. I don't know if they're both going to be in the All-Star game. I actually know they're both not going to be in the All-Star game. But I'd
Moose
love to
might be in the home. Moose might be in the game. I don't know about Jorge Soler.
Jorge Soler ain't making it in the All-Star game, but they should both be in the home run derby. They're two of the best home run hitters in the bigs.
I do want to point out that Jorge Soler is another guy that you are advocating could maybe be in the All-Star game. That is now the seventh different Royal you have told me has a chance to be in the All-Star.
I said the home run derby. He should be in the derby, not the game. And when I said it a month and a half ago, Dozier did deserve to be in the game. Gordon did deserve to be in the game. Mondesi did deserve to be in the game. At this point, all those guys have kind of come back down to earth, except for Witt. Witt, I'm not backing off that one, still does deserve to be in the All-Star game.
But really quick, BK, back to your point about Barry Bonds. I kind of felt like ESPN wanted you to care way more about the Barry Bonds home run chase than you actually cared about the Barry Bonds home run chase. Like, you didn't have to fake America's interest when it came to McGuire and Sosa. Like, you didn't have to fake Kansas City's interest when it came to Mike Moustakas trying to break it. Like, the race we could potentially have in September with Jorge Soler breaking Mike Moustakas' record, I don't care in the least.
Sure.
It'll be cool if he does. Like, all right, cool. But, man, it's football season. You're not a hashtag forever Royal kind of guy. Like, I'm not going to be really excited about the day that he broke it. But you remember, man, the countdown to Moose breaking the record, thinking I would go my entire life without seeing anyone on the Royals hit 37 home runs. That felt like that was a true accomplishment.
You don't think 40,000 people are going to go fill up Kauffman Stadium to see Jorge Soler break the home run record, huh?
No, I mean, knowing the Royals, he'll do it on a Sunday in September.
Like, no, it'll be a West Coast game. It'll be like something tonight where nobody's paying attention. It'll be like a 9 o'clock start, and all of a sudden he'll hit his 40th home run, and nobody will have known about it. That's what's going to happen.
No, that is exactly what's going to happen, though. But really quickly about Jorge Soler, and there's a Chiefs stat I want to share with you guys. I genuinely feel like Jorge Soler just turned into exactly what we thought he was going to be.
You thought he was going to be this good. He's on pace to hit 43 home runs and 130 RBI.
I'm just looking at his stats from last year. I mean, this is kind of what Jorge Soler was doing at the beginning of the season. So last year, Jorge Soler played in 61 games. Now, the power is a little stronger than it was. That's a big difference. But, man, in 60 games last year, he had 9 home runs and 30 RBIs and hit 270 in 60 games. Like, he was going to hit 25, 27 home runs last year. He just got injured. Now, this year, he might hit 40 home runs, but I think we can agree he's going to probably come back to the pack just a little bit.
I don't know, man. We're about halfway through the season almost. He's on pace for 43 home runs. He might not get there, but I bet he's going to break the record. I bet he gets a 39 or 40.
Yeah, and I just always thought that Jorge Soler, if we got the opportunity to see him play 162 games, knock on wood, we're not at that point yet. But we're at 72 right now. The most games he's ever played in a season is 101. If we can see 140 games of Jorge Soler, I thought he could be a 25, 30 home run guy. Now, this year might be his ceiling. Like, this might be his He's 28. He's finally hit his athletic peak, but this is about what I thought he was going to be. If anything, this is exactly what Dayton told us he was going to be. Whenever they traded for Jorge Soler, this is what they thought he was going to be.
At least now you could look at it like the Royals didn't lose the Wade Davis trade, because it looked like the last couple of years that was a trade that the Royals lost. Right now I'm willing to say that's a trade it looks like the Royals won.
Coming up in a little bit, we will have a little bit of a sports tender edition. Plus, we'll give you one more chance to win Royals tickets. Just keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports. So I wanted to share this thing really quickly with you guys about Patrick Mahomes, because yesterday we had a toss-up question of who do you think is going to go to more Super Bowls? So not win, who do you think is going to have more Super Bowl appearances, Patrick Mahomes or Jared Goff? I think it's probably about the same. I think Goff maybe goes to one, maybe two more, because I believe in Sean McVay, and I think Mahomes goes to maybe two or three.
And Goff's already got one in the bag.
Yeah, so that gives you a little bit of a leg up, but he's also a season ahead of where Patrick Mahomes is. So we looked this up. Basically, every quarterback cycle since 1960, so about once every 5 years, 6 years, there is a quarterback that goes on to go to at least three Super Bowls. So starting in the 60s, you had Fran Tarkenton, Roger Staubach, Bob Greasy. In the 70s, you had Terry Bradshaw, then Joe Montana. In the 80s, you had John Elway, Jim Kelly, and then Troy Aikman. In the 90s, well, if you want to include Kurt Warner, who's a little bit of an anomaly, then you had Peyton Manning. In the 2000s, you had Tom Brady. Then you had Ben Roethlisberger, and then you had Russell Wilson. So we are about due for the next wave of the cycle, and I think we can identify at least who's in that next wave, whether it's Mahomes, Watson, Mitch Trubisky, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. We at least have an understanding of, all right, these 8 to 10 quarterbacks, they appear to be next up. Who is going to emerge to be the best of these? Who's going to be at the seat of the table? I think we have a really good idea of who those 8 to 10 quarterbacks are. The question is, which one of them is going to emerge to go to at least two or more Super Bowls?
Yeah, somebody from this era is going to go to three Super Bowls, and likely it's going to be one of the following four guys. Patrick Mahomes, Andrew Luck. That Andrew Luck ship might have sailed because he's a little bit older than these other guys. Baker Mayfield and Deshaun Watson. Because the old hat is out, man. Tom Brady's been to so many Super Bowls I can't even count. He's not going to be playing 3 years from now. Same thing with Ben Roethlisberger. Same thing with Phillip Rivers. The next wave of AFC quarterback, don't look now, might be as good or better than the last wave that included Manning and Brady and Rivers and Roethlisberger.
I don't know if I'm willing to say that when I think you have two confirmed top five quarterbacks of all time. Like, Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, and Peyton Manning is one of the five best quarterbacks of all time. I'm not willing to say that this class is going to be better than that, but it certainly has a chance to be a really good quarterback class. That I think, to me, the question now for the NFL is going to be, is it going to be like the AFC, where the Patriots have just dominated the AFC? Like, the AFC has been dominated by three Hall of Fame quarterbacks, whether it's Brady, Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and then you have the one Flacco year sprinkled in the middle. Or is it going to be like the NFC over the last 20 years, where you've had six or seven different quarterbacks kind of have their turn, whether it was McNabb, whether it was Cam Newton who went to one, whether it was Matt Ryan who went to one, Russell Wilson went to a couple of them.
Rodgers, Breeze more recently. Yeah,
we've just seen the NFC. We've seen a lot of different quarterbacks kind of get their chance. What is the NFL going to be like once the Brady run is over? And what makes the Patriots run a little bit differently is they've technically had two different dynasties. Like, they had a dynasty in the early 2000s. You guys remember, win against the Rams, win against the Patriots. Then they had the loss to the Giants, undefeated year. That was a run.
Sure.
They then didn't go to the Super Bowl for a decent amount of time. And then they've gone to the last three. Like, that's two different dynasties, two different waves. We've never seen a team do that, especially with the same quarterback the way the Patriots have. Eventually, the Patriots' run's going to end, and then we're going to have to figure out what the NFL is going to be like going forward.
Then is the answer really obvious that it's going to be much more like the NFC than the AFC? I mean, there's no way. We're never going to see another Patriots again. At least not for the next 20, 30 years, is a team going to go to as many Super Bowls as Tom Brady and Bill Belichick did. So it's going to be a rotation of Andrew Luck gets there 1 year, then Baker Mayfield, then Deshaun Watson, then maybe one of the old guys gets to another one like Ben Roethlisberger before he hangs it up, then Pat gets to a couple. It's going to be much more of a rotation than it's been Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and then you throw in there Joe Flacco, Tom Brady, Tom Brady. It's going to be much more like the NFC.
No, I agree with you, but I think the question is then who emerges in that category? Like, is it going to be like the NFC, where everybody just gets one? Breeze has one. Wilson has one. Rodgers has one. Or is it going to be like the AFC, where guys have multiple? Roethlisberger has multiple. Peyton has multiple. Brady has multiple. I think that's the question that we're asking now at this point, because it would seem like it would be like the NFC. I think that Baker's going to get his eventually. I think that Deshaun Watson's too good to not get his. I think that Carson Wentz going to get his at some point. I think Mahomes is going to get his at his point. Who gets to two? Who gets multiple, I think, is the question.
There's no wave in the NFC. It's either the old guys like Drew Brees, and you mentioned Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, or it's guys that are probably past their prime, like, I don't know, a Cam Newton or a Matt Ryan. The wave of quarterback in the NFC is not like it is in the AFC. The wave of quarterback in the NFC is Jared Goff and Mitchell Trubisky. In the AFC, you've got Pat, you've got Baker, you've got Luck, you've got Deshaun. And I'll throw Wentz in there, too. So there's three compared
to
five.
Goff is in there, too. I mean,
Goff's in there.
Goff should be in that list. And, I mean,
why do we do this with Cam Newton versus Andrew Luck? So this is something that I'm really curious about. They're the same age. So if we're saying that Andrew Luck can have the next kind of portion of his career be super successful, why can't Cam Newton have the same thing? They're the exact same age. Cam Newton is like 100 days older than Andrew Luck. I don't understand why Andrew Luck can have this next wave, and he's a part of this group of guys, whereas Cam Newton is not considered to be part of that.
My answer would be that...
And Cam's been better thus far.
No, I mean, he's had more success as a team. I don't think he's been a better quarterback.
He's been to a Super Bowl.
I think the answer would be we have never seen a quarterback age like Cam gracefully, that... It would appear once he hits 32, 33, 34, like I can see the Cam Newton thing ending really quickly because of how he plays, where it is much easier to have Andrew Luck's play style and play that way into your 30s.
Which of those guys had the bigger career injury first? I'm just saying, like Andrew Luck had a catastrophic throwing injury with his shoulder.
But he's back. I mean, it'd be one thing if I saw him come back and he sucked. I'm convinced that, I mean, the only quarterback that threw for more touchdowns last year in the NFL than Andrew Luck was Patrick Mahomes. So
Andrew Luck's good. Andrew Luck's good. No question about it. I just think we should include Cam Newton on these conversations if we're going to do it with Andrew Luck. I think they've had relatively similar careers in terms of the overall success that they've had on the field. Obviously different players, but similar careers. I think Cam Newton should be included in the NFC.
Text line 69306, I don't understand you guys' infatuation for Baker Mayfield. I mean, it's a very tough crowd when as a 23-year-old rookie quarterback that fired their coach in the middle of the season, you complete 64% of your passes, almost over 4,000 yards, almost over 30 touchdowns, and it's like, how are you guys so high on Baker Mayfield? Because as a true rookie, he didn't have the Patrick Mahomes, I sat behind Alex Smith, Andy Reid is my coach, I got Tyreek Hill, redshirt year as a rookie quarterback. Find me quarterbacks over the last 30 years who have had better rookie seasons. Not so Mahomes, we agree, was a different kind of rookie season. I'm saying their first year in the NFL. Find me five quarterbacks that had a better first season than Baker Mayfield. You will not find you will not find five of them. Not Goff, not Wentz, not Mahomes, obviously, because he didn't play. There are not that many quarterbacks that in their first NFL season had a better year than Baker Mayfield.
I'll listen to the Andrew Luck argument as far as him being old and kind of being more in the Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers class than Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield. I won't hear Baker Mayfield's not the next because he is. Pat 1, Baker 2 going forward.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll close things out with the edition of Sports Tinder. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Coming up after us, it is Bink at Night. Our guy Jay Binkley, follow him on Twitter at Three Guys in a Garage. We're back again tomorrow. We'll give you another chance to win a 16-inch pizza from the other place. We'll also figure out what we're going to do regarding Toy Story because we have...
The hits will be at 4, I believe, tomorrow.
Okay, all right then. So we'll give you a chance to win Toy Story tickets tomorrow at 4 o'clock. But without further ado, let's get to... Sports Tinder.
It's time for Tinder Tuesday on The Drive. Swipe right if you like it. Swipe left if you don't. Tinder Tuesday on The Drive.
All right, guys, let's start with this one as a Tinder Tuesday here on The Drive. Sammy Watkins will have more than 1,000 yards receiving this season. Swipe right if you agree. Swipe left if you disagree.
I'm going to surprise you on this one, C-Dot. You think I'm swiping to the left? I am not. I'm swiping to the right. I think Sammy is going to have a 1,000-yard season because...
What? Wait, what?
Yes, yes, I know. I'm surprising you guys. He's going to have a 1,000-yard. It's not going to be much more than 1,000, but he's going to have like 1,003 yards receiving. He's going to stay healthier than predicted. He plays in, let's call it, 13 games this year and has over 1,000 yards. I'm saying it because I think that Tyreek Hill is going to be suspended for a couple of games. At that point, Sammy becomes your number one target.
Wish you guys could see
and he's going to get opportunities.
Wish you guys could see BK's face.
He's flabbergasted that I'm right.
I'm really confused, honestly. What?
With my flip-flopping? I'm going to the right. He's getting 1,000 yards. He's barely going over 1,000.
everything Sammy Watkins we've had for the last
for
2 months.
I'm changing my mind. He's staying healthy. Sammy's going to go over 1,000, but barely. Which way are you swiping?
I don't even want to answer the question, honestly. I just can't believe what happened.
He's going barely over 1,000. He's going to... Look, Tyreek Hill had, what, 1,300 receiving yards? What did Travis Kelce have last year? He's not going to have a season like that. 1,000 yards, do the math, BK, because I'm not good at it. What is that per game?
Like this is what I've been saying for
60 or 70 yards per game with the opportunities he's going to get.
You're
if
saying
he stays
that he's
healthy?
Basically going to be Stephon Diggs from last year.
That's what I've been saying.
I don't think that's insane. I don't think that's crazy.
It's not that I don't think it's insane. It's you and I have sat in these two chairs and I said everything you literally just said and you kept telling me how I was wrong and how Mecole Hardman was going to have 70 catches and how he was going to get hurt. And now
what
you just go.
What happened?
Well, even.
I swiped to the right. Big deal. Move on. Sammy's going just over 1,000. That's how
deal.
I feel about it.
I know you got so
we're
angry.
Talk
I
about
we were,
this tomorrow.
I thought we were joking. Move on. I didn't know. My bad.
We'll pick it up tomorrow.
My bad. I'm so stunned at what just happened.
I stunned both you guys. I knew you didn't think I was.
That's like me
right.
coming on here. You know what? Baked beans are really delicious. I mean, I had some for the first time, and they were to die for.
Is that your impression of me, by the way?
No, I was just hitting you on it.
You know that's not how my voice sounds. You know it.
No, that's not you. I was just talking.
Move on.
All right. Tinder Tuesday here on the Drive.
I pissed you guys off so much by swiping to the right.
You didn't piss me off. I'm just confused.
I'm not angry in any bit. I'm just stunned, flabbergasted, shocked.
I was shocked. Frank Clark and Chris Jones will both make the Pro Bowl this year. You swiping right to agree, swiping left to disagree.
I'm swiping the right on this one. They're both going to make the Pro Bowl. It's Frank Clark hasn't made a Pro Bowl, and Chris Jones didn't make the Pro Bowl, which is nuts. But, yes, they're both going to make the Pro Bowl. I'm swiping to the right.
I'm going to swipe right. Chiefs are a good team. They're key players on a good team. 70% of the NFL makes the Pro Bowl, give or take 5%. I'll swipe right.
Tender Tuesday here on the Drive. Let's go with this one. Swipe right.
I still
right
can't believe what happened.
I can't either. I'm just trying to move forward. Salvador Perez will play his entire career in a Royals uniform. You swiping right or left? Swipe right if you agree.
Salvi, his entire career in a Royals uniform? Okay. Making sure I heard the question.
Yeah, you got the right one. I'm going to swipe to the left. I'm going to say that he plays in a Royals uniform the next couple of years, and then a team wants a DH, which is likely his next position, and Salvi goes to the Yankees or some big market team. So I'm going to swipe to the left and say he does not play his entire career in a Royals uniform.
I'm going to swipe right that he does. I think the Royals really value community and keeping guys in their uniform. Salvi's always been a good soldier. I'll swipe right. I'll say that he does.
Tender Tuesday here on the Drive. Are you swiping right on the New Orleans Pelicans making it to the NBA playoffs next year? Swipe right if you agree. Swipe left if you disagree. The Pelicans making it to the playoffs.
They'll be better than they have been. They're obviously going to add Zion coming up on Thursday. I don't really know what the landscape of the West is going to look like. So I'll swipe to the right barely and say that they sneak in as an 8 seed.
I've never swiped left so quickly on a question than this one. No, they're not making the playoffs. They're not going to finish over 500 this upcoming season.
We don't know where Kawhi is going to be. Kyrie, Kemba, Clay, KD, Chris Paul.
I don't care who. They're not making the playoffs. The Lakers are better than them. The Kings are better than them. The Warriors are still better than them. Like, the Blazers are still better than them.
Rockets.
The Nuggets, the Rockets are still better than them. They're going to be a fun 37-win team. That's what they're going to be. They're going to be a fun, entertaining. They'll play the Knicks on Christmas at 12 o'clock. Yeah, but they're not making the playoffs. Swipe not in the West. Maybe in the East they can make the playoffs. They can be like Orlando from last year. They ain't making the playoffs in the West, though.
Swiping right or left. So let's stick with the NBA here.
Sammy Watkins is going to have 1,000 yards receiving. I can't believe
it. 1,003, to be exact.
Anthony Davis is the best player who, at the time that he played with LeBron, has ever played with LeBron. Swiping right to agree, swiping left to disagree.
Why are we disrespecting Dwayne Wade, who might be a top 5 shooting guard in the history of the NBA? Why are we doing that? No! Dwayne Wade won a ring where he was a team's best player. And then he was cool enough with LeBron. No.
Before Dwayne Wade, though, his best running mate was like Zydrunas Ilgauskas or Booby Gibson or my boy Drew Gooden or Larry Hughes. Like
Eric Snow.
It wasn't good before he got in paired up with that Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh team. Wasn't good at all.
But since then, he had Dwayne Wade, he had Chris Bosh, he had Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love.
If you want to put him in second, yeah, but he's not better than Dwayne Wade. Like, Dwayne Wade has a legitimate argument to be a top five shooting
guard. I think he's got a chance. I think AD has a chance to be better than Dwayne Wade.
He's the best big he's ever played with, I'll say that, by far.
Yeah, I mean, he's only played with two other really good bigs, Kevin Love and
Chris Bosh.
Bosh is a lot better than I think people give credit for. Bosh is a really good player.
Thanks so much for listening. Download the radio.com app. Also, check us out on iTunes. Back again tomorrow. Drive home safe. It's the drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.